very good afternoon to you. The time is 12:07. This is Midday Matters on 89.1 FM. I'm your host, Sean Beter, and of course, this is the Financial Focus edition of our program. So sitting in the true captain's chair over there is Susan Burns. Good afternoon, Susan.
Good afternoon, Sean, and it's a lovely summer day, and we have a couple of interesting guests. There was a song that was real big earlier this year, Hey Soul Sister, and I'm sparing our listeners and not trying to sing it.
But we appreciate it.
But today we're going to learn more about Fort Wayne's Sister Cities organization and have some people actively involved in that.
That's right. And we'll introduce our studio guests in just a moment, but we want to remind you that we'd like to hear from you today. So do give us a call if you have a question or comment for our panelists. The number is 260-452-1185. Of course, you can always call us toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. Email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. We're at Midday Matters.
Yes, we are. And also at Midday Matters today is Tom Herr, who is president of, what's the full name of the organization?
Fort Wayne Sister Cities International, Inc. We're a sub-S corporation.
Great. And you may have picked up from that sub-S that Tom is also an attorney with Barrett and McNagney.
Correct. Thank you for that plug, Susan. That gets me time off from work.
Oh, good.
That's the doctor's note, right?
Right. We'll sign your permission slip. And then also we have Carrie Premileski with us, who is the City of Fort Wayne's liaison to, or I don't know which direction it goes, City of Fort Wayne to Sister Cities or Sister Cities to Fort Wayne. But
It works both ways, so you would be correct on all accounts.
Well, let's kind of get to the fundamentals of the Sister City relationship here. Can you just define for us, I mean, what a Sister City is and share with us, you know, who or where our Sister Cities are?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that, Sean. The entire program began in 1956 with President Eisenhower, who was very familiar with war, and he thought it would be a good idea to have these exchanges between cities, exchanges between individuals, as one way to help promote peace. You know, we were in the 50s, we were just right on the end of World War II, and we're looking at possible conflicts around the world. And it was really Eisenhower who decided this would be a good way to help promote relations between countries. And the focus is on one-on-one exchanges between individuals, students, schools, cities, and not designed to be top-down type of exchanges. Supposed to be grassroots exchanges.
It's not just a matter of saying, well, over in Germany, over in China, we have a sister city, and boy, isn't that neat. It is very much more about getting those cultural and economic exchanges going on a personal level.
Correct. And there is some formality involved. Two cities don't just get together and say, we're going to be sister cities. There is a headquarters in Washington, D.C. that maintains all the records for this. You don't have to get their approval, but you do have to go through a formal process in order to engage with another city. The limitations are there's only one city per country, so that, for example, Taizhou, our sister city in China, can only have one sister city in the United States, which is Fort Wayne. I've been to conferences and with people from all over the world who are involved with sister cities, and I can confidently say that every city and every organization handles their exchanges and their organization differently. It's completely left up to each local organization as to what they want to accomplish, what they want to do, and what their own purpose is.
Carrie, can you share with us who our sister cities are, where they are?
I sure can.
Please do.
Because now we have four. And the first one was established in 1976, and that was with Takoka, Japan. Mm-hmm. And then came Płock, Poland. After that came Gera, Germany. And our fourth one is Taizhou, China.
And Taizhou is a relatively recent addition to that roster, isn't it?
Yes. Just this past May, we signed the official agreement with Taizhou. So, and this one had a very different focus, and that was the economic development portion. And I'm sure, you know, people have read in several articles, we had like the Northeast Indiana Regional Partnership has been very pivotal in helping us establish business relationships with businesses in Taizhou to not only just Fort Wayne, but our region. So there are other cities and towns participating in exchanges with the city and this city in China now, thanks to the relationships we are building.
And we'll talk a little more in depth about those economic ties in a few minutes here. But I kind of like to look back at the other three and say, you know, these relationships are not economically driven. Are they more culturally driven, person to person relations? Can you expand on those relationships and the context for those?
Sure, I'd be happy to. The first relationship we had was with Takaoka. And that has been, from my understanding, I wasn't around back in 1976. I was not involved with sister cities anyway. And there was some economic exchanges because there was a period when Japan, and I think this was the 80s perhaps, I'm not real familiar with it, where Japan was looking for foreign investment, and they were investing in the United States, and they were building plants. And I do know there were a couple of Japanese-owned businesses established in this region. Now, did they come here because we had a sister, you know, because they were from Takaoka and they were coming to Fort Wayne? No. But I do know that the Japanese appreciated the fact that Fort Wayne did have an interest in Japan and did express that interest by having a sister city. And there have been some other outgrowths of that, including a Saturday school designed for Japanese children living here and things like that. So it helped facilitate that Japanese investment in this area, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. Now, with Płock in Germany, I am unaware of any investment by the businesses in either of those cities in this area, or vice versa.
I think they focus more on student exchanges, which is also very valuable for our community and theirs. Hmm. And he can actually talk.
Well, the tourism, obviously, you can, you know, the convention, you know, Fort Wayne convention folks would tell you what each person who comes to the city, how much money they spend. And we are responsible for dozens of, you know, sometimes as many as 100 exchanges in a single year.
Oh, my.
Bringing in people from these cities who come here mm-hmm. and stay in our hotels and spend money. So you know, there is some economic activity as a result of those exchanges. Our student exchanges, you know, typically they stay in people's homes, so there isn't as much economic exchange. But obviously we feel the educational and the cultural exchanges are just as beneficial to a community as any economic exchange.
Well, and certainly, I mean, just within the realms of those three relationships, there's some opening of viewpoints, I would say. I mean, both from, from people visiting the city and people from Fort Wayne visiting those countries as well. Could you talk about some reactions that you've gotten from people who've maybe gone over there or even visitors to Fort Wayne?
Well, we have had, as you can imagine, sending a high school student from here who may have never been out of the country, and they go to a place like Japan, which if you've ever been there or anywhere in Asia, it's just dramatically different, every aspect of life. And they stay with a host family. They stay with a Japanese family. And you know, in just in a matter of 3 weeks, they're just become part of the culture, part of the community, part of the family. And it becomes very difficult for them to leave. And their emotional departures, I mean, I've seen it, and they stay in touch. We've had students who come back, and then they go to college, and they study Japanese language as a major. And then they get a job that allows them to go back to Japan. So, you know, when you reach people at that age and introduce them to something that might be as exciting and as valuable in their lives as a student exchange, it has a tremendous effect.
Carrie, at the city level, what is our local government's interest, I guess, in making these connections? Because very often, I think people think about the municipal government relationship, the municipal relationship more between its citizens and local leadership. Mm-hmm. This is a very different role.
It is. It's very different. And I would say that because the visitors from our sister cities are engaging with our local residents and visiting our businesses and visiting our festivals, you know, we always have people come in actually from Poland to go to Three Rivers Festival. Hmm. So I always find that, did anyone ever know that that happened? But the local government realizes how important it is to build these ties. And, you know, we're not just Fort Wayne on our own. We're in a region and we're tied globally with a lot of places, and a lot of our businesses have those ties too. So that's where our vested interest lies, is making sure we help establish these relationships and keep them strong so that they continue.
We're talking today about the sister city relationships that we've built in Fort Wayne, and we want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. It's 260-452-1185. You can always call us toll-free, of course, at 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. It's @MiddayMatters. We're going to take a quick break. We'll continue the conversation when we get back. This is Midday Matters.
The demand for doctors and nurses is expected to soar in coming years, but there's a problem. The country's nurses are getting older.
And they are going to leave in droves.
And doctors are already in short supply. I'm Tom Gelton, the country's doctor and nurse shortage. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Hi, I'm Bob Mayer. Join me Tuesday nights on WBOI for Tossed Jazz Salad, an eclectic mix of assorted styles of jazz with some standards, some bop, a bit of cool, and a pinch of swing. Tuesday nights from 7 to 9.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Indiana Tech Law School, opening in Fort Wayne in fall 2013. Information on admissions and curriculum at www.indianatech.edu/law or 855-TECH-LAW. Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Reinbold and Anderson, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC, local financial advisors who help people just like you. More information at Reinbold and Anderson on NIPR's homepage at www.nipr.fm.
It's 12:20. This is Midday Matters on 89.1 FM WBOI. I'm your host, Sean Beter, along with Susan Burns on this Tuesday Financial Focus edition of the program. And joining us in the studio, Tom Herr, president of the board for Fort Wayne Sister Cities. And Carrie Premileski, did I get that right?
You did.
Mayor's liaison for the program as well. We want to hear from you today. We are talking about sister city relationships. And if you've perhaps hosted a family or hosted a student, maybe you've visited one of our sister cities, give us a call. We want to hear from you. 260-452-1185. You can call 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can send us a tweet. It's @MiddayMatters.
It is. And Carrie, to kind of pick up on the comment just before the break,
sure.
And you had mentioned that the connection with Taiju is sort of a regional mm-hmm. connection, too. Can anybody be a sister city? Are we sort of proxies for some of the other communities that are within our Northeast partnership area?
Any city or town can establish their own relationship with another city in another country. So they do have that ability to go explore and see if they have, you need a strong support base. You want to make sure you always have volunteers that can assist you in building the relationship and maintaining it. Because as Tom was mentioning, we have numerous exchanges year-round, whether it's educational or cultural or artistic, business, and it varies across the board. So you want to make sure, if you are a city interested in looking at this, you want to have people always around who can assist you with the process.
Sure. So you want to have some people who are still at home in your city. Well, everybody's
right.
Sure. So. How with the city, do you kind of work with some of the other regional cities to kind of expand the reach of when we have visitors come? Do we ever send
them
to
the... There are things they like to check out. I know one of our most recent visitors wanted to check out Grable.
Great.
So, and it just kind of depends. They want to know what's unique about the area. So,
sure.
They'll flip through our Visit Fort Wayne magazines and say, oh, I want to go check that out, or I want to see what this event is about, or buy the local cuisine and
get the full flavor.
Exactly. Aww. You know, that's what and that's what our visitors from Fort Wayne to their countries like to do as well. So,
sure.
You know, you want to soak up as much of that culture and get to know them and build the relationships.
Nothing like a cheeseburger to get the full American experience.
Right. Well, I'm just imagining a visitor arriving for the Three Rivers Festival's Not All Junk Food Alley. It's good that they have that home, too, to understand that we don't always eat blooming onions.
Right.
Well, I wanted to, because this is the financial focus edition of the program, I wanted to move a bit into this most recent relationship with Taisho China. And could you, Tom, talk a little bit about the origins of that relationship? Because you mentioned at the beginning of the program that was much more focused on economic development than our previous sister city relationships are.
Right, Sean. That's a good way to put it, because I wasn't around for the other three when they became sister cities, but from what I understand, China was unique in that the impetus came from China, number one, and from what I have read about China, and then Carrie and I had gone to a conference in Albuquerque 2 years ago, and we were able to meet a lot of folks from China. There was, from the top down over there, an emphasis placed on cities developing sister cities. So the Chinese, were very aggressive. They were, when we met with them in Albuquerque, there were many, many cities there looking for sister cities. And we had two cities that were interested in Fort Wayne, and we were flattered. We were very popular.
And how do those phone calls go?
No, pick up.
Hi, would you like to go out with me? The contacts are typically to the mayor's office via formal letter, written letter, paper letter, not email. And in one instance, the mayor actually, when he was in, he and I and some others had gone to Japan for an anniversary celebration, and then he set up a side trip to meet with the leaders of Huayan, who were wanting to have a relationship with us. They did not end up being our sister city. But this goes back two or three years, I think 2010. Mm-hmm. And then since then, Taizhou, I can't remember exactly. I think the initial contact came through a gentleman in Indianapolis who's responsible for trade between Indiana and the province of Zhejiang, which is where Taizhou is located.
Mm-hmm.
And
go ahead. Yeah, the state of Indiana has actually had a sister state relationship with the province of Zhejiang, and that is the province where Taizhou is located.
Mm-hmm.
So that was also, you know, they've had this relationship with that province for over 25 years.
Wow.
And so it made sense, since our state government has such good ties and relationships, to go ahead and partner with a city that was located within that province.
Is that one of the main reasons why Taisho won out? Is just that established relationship between Indiana and the province?
Right, and they showed a very aggressive interest in art industry. And when you're selecting sister cities, you have to see how you match up. Well, obviously population wasn't one that we could really look at.
they have more?
Yes, many, many more. Oh. But we do look at industry, and we check with our local economic development organizations to see, you know, could they designate some time and resources to building relationships over there? And so this one just showed very strong, especially when the state works with the business is called Pacific World Trade. They have a contract with them to help build these relationships. They even have an office located in that province to assist with the relationships.
So what makes for a compatible relationship beyond population when you're talking about matching industries or interests in the business sector anyway?
Well, it does. If you go to the Sister Cities International website, there is a page or two devoted to what makes a good match. In there, you'll find that the recommendation is that the cities be comparable in their climates, their population, the type of industry they have. What Sister Cities does not want is a colonial approach. They don't want, you know, the city of Fort Wayne adopting an impoverished community to bestow charity on. That's not what this is about. You want a partner. You want somebody who can afford to send people here and so we can have mutual exchanges. The one with Taizhou, I think, is unique because all of China is looking for places to invest, and the United States is one that they've chosen to make some investments. Carrie mentioned the organization in Indianapolis. They've been successful in getting private Chinese, or private is a relative term. I'm not sure what that means, but they appear to be private companies investing in Indiana. They've built several plants in Indiana, Marion, near Terre Haute, down near Evansville, and have employed Hoosiers and put people to work. So, it's a positive thing for us because it employs people. It's a positive thing for China because they can, diversifying their investments is one of their goals right now. They think there's a bubble being created there, and they want to spread out their investments, and that this is one way to do it.
We're talking today about our sister city relationships here in Fort Wayne and northeastern Indiana. We want to hear from you today. Give us a call, 452-1185. You can always call us toll-free, of course, at 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet. We are at Midday Matters. We do have our phone lines wide open right now. Nobody on the line. You will get right through.
You will. You will. And how about, I understand some of my neighbors spent some time in Płock. I learned how to say it this summer. It's not actually Plots. It's that L is a W sound. Mm-hmm. And Gera, Germany, we hear a lot about that too. And Tom, you said we sent a bluegrass band to one of those two cities?
My first trip to Płock would have been 2002, and we sent the Mullins family bluegrass band. Mullins were from Columbia City. It was a mother and father and a daughter and a brother, a son. And they were very well received. People loved the bluegrass music. It was Płock puts on what they call a European picnic every May, and they have about 10 sister cities and invite them all to come, and they invite one or two cities to bring music with them. And that was the year that we brought the Mullins band. And Megan Mullins has become a recording star. The daughter has become a recording star in Nashville since then, so we're real proud of that.
All right. You and Płock knew her when?
Well, yeah, we knew her when she was just a high school kid.
Well, that's great. So, and with both Płock and Gera, they kind of came into the family, I guess you'd say, out of the end of the Cold War and a change in the some of the Eastern Bloc nations.
Yeah, our relations began right when the wall fell. So they had clearly, like China is today, they had clearly decided that establishing sister cities was one way to get out from the old economies of Eastern Europe and try to become more westernized, become more integrated with the West. And that was, you know, clearly they're all focused on that. And, you know, I'm sure it's helped them in many ways.
We're going to take a quick break from the news. We'll continue this conversation when we come back, and we want to hear from you. Do give us a call, 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Talk about a big city.
Wuhan has over 60 universities and roughly 1 million students.
Wuhan, China is bigger than New York City and is attracting big Western investment, but it's not nearly as well known as Shanghai or Beijing. The NPR Cities Project on the urbanization of inland China, today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered airs weekday afternoons at 4 on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Good afternoon. I'm Katie Anderson with WBOI News. An Indiana town devastated by tornadoes in March is taking another step toward normalcy as classes resume in a school that took a direct hit from the storm. Henryville students are returning to school today in a newly repaired school complex after finishing out the year in different communities. Assistant Superintendent John Reed of West Clark Community Schools said some work is still being done to stock the library and complete the gym, but he says the complex looks much like it did before the March 2nd storm. Residents of other hard-hit areas can't say the same. Some are still living in campers, and dozens of lots where businesses once stood remain vacant. Carolyn King of the group March to Recovery says relief efforts have given way to long-term recovery. Meanwhile, Governor Mitch Daniels is picking a new judge to Indiana's Court of Appeals. Former appeals judge Carr Darden retired from the bench last month. Darden was first appointed to the court in 1994 by then-Governor Evan Bayh and won re-election to the bench in 1998 and 2008. Daniels is scheduled to reveal his pick Tuesday. The 15-member appeals court is the state's second-highest judicial forum after the state Supreme Court. The court issues roughly 2,500 written opinions each year, according to its website. The Fort Wayne Tin Caps and Bowling Green Hot Rods met in Game 3 of a four-game series last night at Parkview Field. WBOI's Doug Gruber has the result.
The Tin Caps starting pitcher, Eric Cabrera, had never pitched in a professional game in the U.S. He came to Fort Wayne from the Dominican Summer League yesterday and got a rude Midwest League reception. In his first inning, he faced 10 batters, gave up 6 hits, allowed 5 runs. Bowling Green added single runs in the second and fourth. The Tin Caps managed single runs in the first and second, and at the end of 6 innings, the Hot Rods led 7-2. Adding to the Tin Caps' woes were 6 errors, which sets a season high. In the 7th inning, the Tin Caps loaded the bases with 1 out and were awarded 2 runs from a hit batter and a walk, but that was as close as they get, losing 7-4. They'll try to even the series tonight at 7:05. For WBOI News, I'm Doug Gruber from Parkview Field.
Most of the hogs at the Indiana State Fair have been sent home early as a precaution after 6 pigs in the 4-H show developed temperatures above 105 degrees, an indicator of potential illness. State Fair officials said releasing the pigs from the swine barn on Monday, a day ahead of schedule, came on the recommendation from the Board of Animal Health. It comes in the wake of the Indiana Department of Health saying Friday it has confirmed 11 cases of variant influenza A in people linked to hogs, including 4 earlier cases that were linked to the LaPorte County Fair in northwestern Indiana. The flu strain can be directly transmitted between swine and people. The cause of the fevers in the pigs is not known. And now back to Midday Matters with your host, Sean Beter.
Good afternoon. It's 12:36. This is Midday Matters Financial Focus right here on 89.1 FM WBOI. I'm your host, Sean Beter, along with Susan Burns, and we're talking today about Fort Wayne's sister city relationships. We do want to hear from you with your questions or comments today, or perhaps if you've hosted someone from our sister cities, or if you've visited those cities yourself, we want to hear from you. It's 260-452-1185. You can always call us toll-free, of course, at 1-800-471-9264. email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. We're at Midday Matters. And it looks like we have our first caller on the line. Let's go to line one. Lena, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi, thank you. I was just curious. I don't know a lot about the Sister Cities process, but since I've moved back from Wellington, New Zealand, I lived there for about 4.5 years, and although it's not a large economy, obviously, as compared to China and other places, the city of Wellington is actually very similar in population size as Fort Wayne, and I always make the comparisons in terms of the opportunity, how I'd love to take people there from Fort Wayne to see how they've had such a thriving arts culture and a pedestrian culture there, and also have really done a great job of revitalizing that city from something that used to be referred to as the armpit of New Zealand to now the key destination of New Zealand, no joke. And that was through concerted leadership, strategy, et cetera. And so I know it's a smaller economy and may not have those robust numbers of China or India, but they do have, there's already quite a few educational exchanges where you can use U.S. federal aid to go to school there. I did my master's there. I didn't use the U.S. Federal aid, but was a New Zealand resident. But there's also a lot of economic segues then into Asia and South Pacific. So I'm just curious if smaller cities from smaller economies, that again, the same population, if there's any opportunity for things that are more around the quality of life, learning exchanges and such that could happen.
Do you want to take that?
And we're batting the question back and forth here.
Are you talking about exchanges with Wellington or with our current sister cities? I didn't follow that.
Well, just curious, for opportunities, I thought earlier you were speaking of opportunities to connect and identify with new cities and new
areas.
With
new ones? Yeah, we just added Taizhou, and we were approached quite often by people who are, we have a group that's interested in a city in Bulgaria. So, yeah, we've never turned anybody away. It just we need a group that's committed to the relationship because we're all volunteers. We have no staff other than Carrie, who's employed by the city, but she's just she has other responsibilities. So we need a group of people who are committed and come to us, and we'll entertain any city. More the merrier,
well,
I
think it's important to point out, too, that there are more cities in Indiana who are getting involved with establishing sister cities. So even if it didn't hit with, like, a Fort Wayne or an Indianapolis, I think, like, the city of Decatur,
Kendallville,
you know,
is
establishing
interested.
Sister cities now, I think.
Kendallville.
And there are many others who are finally jumping on board because they understand how valuable these relationships are. So I think you bring up very good points.
Yeah, well, thank you, because it's just been intriguing in terms of the similar population size of Wellington and Fort Wayne and seeing their transformation that's taken place. And I guess just trying to understand if there's also the appreciation, although the economic development opportunities would also be there, possible exchanges, et cetera, not as much industry necessarily would they be building factories here. So just curious if there's an openness
Kiwi
to...
Kiwi farms.
Yeah. Lena, thanks very much for your call. We appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a very good day. And, of course, we want to invite all of our listeners to give us a ring today. It's 260-452-1185 or 1-800-471-9264. I did want to address, of course, one of the bigger news items that we've heard on this front relatively recently, the big economic development trip to Taizhou. And, of course, there were representatives from around the state, I believe, in on that trip, as well as from right here in northeastern Indiana.
Yeah, that's correct, Sean. We had a delegation of about 10, including the mayor, John Sampson from the regional partnership, and myself, three local business people, and then the representative from Indianapolis. And we had meetings. We were there 4 days, had meetings all day long, every day, meeting either with government officials of the province, the city. We met with private companies who were interested in investing in Indiana for an entire day, one day. That has led to a subsequent trip of some representatives who are coming here this summer. So far, nothing concrete, but the exchanges are continuing, and it was a very promising visit.
I think probably some people who aren't maybe as familiar with this process might say, well, you know, this is taking a while to get the ball rolling on the development front. Is that typical for relationships like this?
Well, I would say that the way the Chinese work, you know, it's mysterious. I don't know how long it actually takes from beginning to end, but we just signed our agreement in May. Mm-hmm. Part of our reason for going last fall there was to just see the city. I'd never, none of us had ever been there before, so it wasn't solely to attract investment. It was also to solidify the relationship and make sure we wanted to be partners with them.
And I understand that that trip aside, it's actually a pretty big year for Fort Wayne in terms of our sister city relationships.
Yes, it is. I'm glad you bring it up. We actually have two anniversaries this year with two of our sister cities, and that's Takaoka, Japan. And we are celebrating 35 years of our sister city relationship with them. And then the other one is Gera, Germany, and we are celebrating 20 years of our relationship with them.
Wow.
So it's pretty exciting, and this is also the first year that both cities will be sending delegations to Fort Wayne. They will be here at the end of October, so October 25th through the 29th. We will have our friends from our sister cities coming to Fort Wayne to partake in activities and tour the city.
Great.
And again, just building those ties.
And I have to ask: is there going to be a big party that we can all go to? Maybe some cake.
There are several events underway and being planned that we will definitely send out information. And that's when I want to say we do have a Facebook page. So if you are on Facebook, friend us. It's Fort Wayne Sister Cities. And, you know, we share information about what's going on in the countries of our sister cities. We also share very important information about upcoming events and how people can help and how they can participate. So I will be posting those on that Facebook page.
Okay. And we'll put a reminder on our Facebook page as well. We have just a few minutes left in this part of the program, but I'd like to ask you both, I mean, what do you hope for? What do you expect in the next few years as these sister city relationships continue on?
If I could just interject before I answer that, we do have an endowment courtesy of the Chapman family here in Fort Wayne that provides us with a significant amount of income every year that is restricted to scholarships, and any student, high school age student in Allen County, can travel to one of our sister cities and receive funds from sister cities for that trip. And then we also provide funds for students of that same age in our sister cities to come to Fort Wayne. And we do that every year, and we have as many as 20 students, and we cover their expenses. They usually stay with a host family. And that's one of the big focus of our organization, primarily because of that very substantial gift from the Chapman family. Hmm. I see adding China to the mix here. I see a lot. We've never had a student exchange with China, so I'm sure
that's
on the horizon.
I think that's our hope now. We have a group of educators going to Taizhou in the middle of October this year to visit some schools, and I know that's a hope of ours, is to establish those sister school relationships like we do with our other sister cities.
And Canterbury has already done that. They've signed an agreement with one of the schools in Taizhou, and we hope to see some student exchanges and teacher exchanges there.
All right. Well, we have to unfortunately end the conversation here for today. But Tom and Carrie, thank you very much for being with us on the program today.
Thank you for having us, Sean and Susan.
And before you go, give us the correct website. I understand there's a incorrect version that sends you.
It's FortWayneSisterCities.org.
So
it's an organization, so it's .org.
Not for profit.
Yes.
Great, thank you.
Thank you both once again for being with us. When we come back, we'll check in with Junior Achievement of Northern Indiana and see how things are developing as the new school year is about ready to get underway.
Yeah. So
do stay with us, and of course, we do want to hear your questions and comments. As always, it's 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. Stay with us. This is Midday Matters.
On the next Fresh Air, America at War with Itself. We talk with historian Richard Slotkin, author of The Long Road to Antietam, How the Civil War Became a Revolution. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
The Bipartisan Cybersecurity Act of 2012 failed last week in the Senate despite growing alarm in the national security world about vulnerabilities in the nation's critical infrastructure. I'm Tom Gelton. Emerging Cyber Threats and the Future of Cybersecurity. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Lake City Bank, offering a wide range of financial investment and trust services for individuals, businesses, and not-for-profit organizations through the Lake City Bank Wealth Advisory Group. More information available at lakecitybank.com.
And a very good afternoon to you. It's 12 minutes before the top of the hour, 1 o'clock. You're tuned to Midday Matters Financial Focus right here on 89.1 FM WBOI. I'm your host, Sean Beter, of course, along with Susan Burns. And Susan, we're going to pivot a little bit here.
I know. I love when we pivot. and I like when we pivot to a wonderful organization that helps kids all over the northern half of Indiana learn about financial matters. Because it's Tuesday and it's Financial Focus, and we have with us a couple guests from Junior Achievement.
And we've been rushing in and out here during that very short break. Let's have you introduce yourselves during this. We'll start in seat number two here.
Hello, I'm Joni Deitch, and I'm the Executive Vice President at Junior Achievement.
And I'm Jennifer Vanderpool, and I am Program Coordinator for Junior Achievement.
And thank you both so much for being with us on the program today. It's been a while since we've talked Junior Achievement.
It has, and we wanted to catch up because school is starting, and school is a lot of times where Junior Achievement happens, right?
If you could refresh us a little bit on what the mission of Junior Achievement is.
Sure. Our mission is to inspire young people to succeed in a global economy. We work with caring adults in the community who are concerned about the future success of children here and the economic health of our community.
And how long has Junior Achievement been active in Fort Wayne?
Since 1952.
Oh my, that's a long tradition of building entrepreneurship.
It is. We have a wonderful business and education community that supports the program. So our success is attributed to that.
Right, it kind of a come a long way, baby, sort of thing.
It is.
Well, I'm curious. I mean, in the last, obviously the business world is a very different place now than it was even 10 years ago, at least in some circles. Can you talk a little bit about, how the organization has changed or if it's changed really in the last, 60 years now?
It has changed. We began as a nighttime company program in which students visited the Junior Achievement Center and built products to then sell door to door, and they had their own companies that did that. We took that in the 70s, we took that concept and moved it into the school day where students were able to actually apply the business concepts in the classroom. And we were able to reach many more students with that philosophy.
Wow. And then I know you all for your BizTown and Financial Park programs now.
Yes.
And are those, tell our listeners a little about what happens in those facilities.
Sure. Those are our capstone experiences. Students in fifth or sixth grade visit our BizTown program. They do about 6 weeks preparatory work before they go to our facility to actually manage a mini economy. They train for positions. They are interviewing for different jobs. And when they come to the facility, there are 14 different storefronts in that facility, and they take over. There are adult coaches that help, but I think sometimes they may get in the way of the students. Yeah. They're very serious about their work.
Yeah, the times I've been there, the adults seem to sort of be more traffic than coaching, you know, just sort of keep moving the kids from one section to another. But boy, they have a mayor and a newspaper. I think, isn't one of the coveted jobs to be the town DJ?
It is. It is.
So, see, Sean, you could branch out.
There's hope for me yet. Yeah. We do want to hear from you in the last 7 minutes of the program here. If you have a question or comment for our panel, give us a call. It's 260-452-1185. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters.
It is. And Jennifer, what's new now that things have been developing at Junior Achievement?
Well, there's a couple of things that are new. The newest thing is happening this weekend. Cap'n Cork and Mad Anthony Brewing Company are sponsoring a wine and beer festival that supports Junior Achievement of Northern Indiana. It's this Saturday at Headwaters Park West from 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. And everyone's invited. It's $25 a ticket. And it goes to benefit Junior Achievement.
And we'll put a reminder up on our Facebook wall along with information from Sister Cities program as well, in case any of our listeners missed that and are interested in getting involved.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Junior Achievement also has their own Facebook page, so check us out. And we have a website, www.jani.org. So check us out there, too. You can buy tickets online if you'd like.
Great. And then I would think this is a program that could be kind of expensive with the capstone programs and all the activities. This isn't your only fundraiser during the year, is it?
It is not, no. And, you know, this program is a gift from the business community to the educational community, so there's no cost for our educators to participate. We do bullathons. We have a bullathon coming up here in August, the end of August, and we also have golf outings, a golf marathon, a Grand Prix, several events that help us raise the funds to support the programs in the classroom.
Yeah, and then the spring, there's the Bell Awards?
Yes.
Business
and Education Leadership Awards, yes. And we recognize the Greater Fort Wayne Business Hall of Fame inductees at that event, as well as Golden Achievement Award winners through Junior Achievement.
Great. I'm going to put Joni a little on the spot here. And who are some of those Business Hall of Fame people?
The recent inductees, Victor Porter was from Decatur, was one of our recent inductees. Jim Risk from Lafayette was an inductee with Kirby Risk Corporation.
Oh, yeah.
As well as Don Wood with 8020 in Whitley County.
Yeah.
Quite a Hall of Fame lineup there.
It is. Well, in the Junior Achievement offices, I'm remembering, isn't there kind of really literally a hall?
Yes,
with
there is.
All these wonderful plaques of people whose names we now know on companies and buildings around town. Yeah. So how many people are involved in Junior Achievement?
This year, we reached 101,000 students, and we'll reach those same 101,000 students across Northern Indiana next year. We have over 4,000 volunteers, and we anticipate growing the programs. We have a very supportive business community.
My, oh, my. We have just a few moments left in the program here. If you'd like to get your question or comment in under the wire, give us a call. It's 260-452-1185 or 1-800-471-9264. You touched on this a minute ago, but business education, even though a lot of the fundamentals have stayed the same for a few hundred years or so, this is a world that changes on a dime.
It is.
How do you incorporate or can you incorporate those types of changes into what you do on, say, a year-to-year basis?
We do. We try to keep our materials very current. We have them evaluated each year by educators in the classroom as well as the volunteers who teach the programs. So they're able to help us tweak the materials that are provided at a national level so that they not only meet the needs of our community but students within each school. We feel like the unemployment rate that is significantly high really requires us to teach students more about work readiness skills and help them be more successful in the workplace, because they may not have the role models in their lives that can help them do that. So we try to do that through junior achievement.
And I mean, this isn't just about, of course, the entrepreneurial spirit. I mean, it is about, integrating and adapting to a workplace, even if you're not the boss right off.
Exactly. It's work readiness, financial literacy, and entrepreneurial spirit.
It sounds like a very complete program.
We think so.
Yeah.
And they learn, I'm trying to think back to that BizTown visit, but they learn about budgeting, and
they do. They actually are paid twice throughout that day, and they have to manage their own checkbooks. We take that concept further to our Finance Park program, where students are go to the facility, Lincoln Finance Park, and they are given a life scenario, and they have to put together a budget to live within their means. And inevitably, they have to go back and make trade-offs throughout the day to make sure that they live within their means. It's a wonderful trial period in budgeting for them.
Not everybody can buy that huge house that's on the list there.
Yes, they always want to buy a two-seater car for four children, so that's
yeah. That's great. Well, and if someone, 40,000 volunteers, who gets involved from that side of things? How do you find those volunteers?
You know, the best way for us to find volunteers is through referral of current volunteers and educators. They know what it takes to be successful in the classroom, and they've done a beautiful job of sharing with us people who are engaged. If people are interested in getting involved in junior achievement, we run programs year-round, fall, winter, and spring, and all they need to do is call our office at 484-2543, and we can set them up with a class and students that are hopefully close to work or home and convenient for them to work with.
And we have just a few seconds left in the program here, but remind us one more time about the fundraiser that this week.
Yeah, this weekend it's the Wine and Beer Festival, New Orleans style, that's supporting junior achievement. It's at Headwaters Park West. It's from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. There's brewers, wineries, and there's food. Some great food vendors will be there. It's $25 a person to get in, and tickets can be purchased at www.jani.org.
All right. Well, we are out of time for the program, but thank you both so much for coming in to update us on JA.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We'd also like to thank Susan Burns, our intrepid co-host, all our guests, and everyone for listening today.
Thank you, Sean.
I'm Sean Beter, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, WBOI Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University. Thanks very much for listening. Fresh Air is up next. Have a great day.